Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Artists First World Radio Network, home of the best new music you've never heard and home of the best new talk shows you need to hear. Please don't forget to visit our archives page at www.artistfirst.com, where you can hear all our past shows for free and on demand. You are tuning into an Artists First music special. These air pretty much randomly. And if you have any questions for our guests tonight, I'll be your host, Corey King, and you can email all of your questions to coreykingmusic@gmail.com. That's coreykingmusic@gmail.com. Or if you prefer Twitter, I'm on Twitter, and you can tweet me the questions at Corey King, and that's coreykingg. And we have a very special guest with us tonight. Her name is Marla Mace, and she is a singer-songwriter here to, we're going to listen to two of her albums she has out, and I think we're going to preview a new song, actually listen to a new song. And I have her on the phone with me right now. Hey, Marla, you with us?
I'm there. I'm here.
Right on.
How you doing, Corey?
No problem. How are you doing on this wonderful March 14th?
I am doing great. It's sitting in my car in New York City. beautiful night, and I'm really happy. It's really warm out, and everything's great.
Wow, are you a minority for having a car in New York City?
I know. Actually, a lot of people do, but I actually use my car a lot. I have a garage close by, and I confess I do use it. And right now, it's because I live in a loft, and my kids are home, and I want to have privacy. So this is a good place for privacy. I do a lot of things in my car.
That's cool. I drove through New York, I think, like twice, and those were probably the two worst driving experiences of my life. So I congratulate you for pulling that off.
Sure, no problem. Now, my worst driving experience was driving past Naples in Italy. That was crazy.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Yeah.
Actually, you know what? I take that back. That was probably my second and third worst. My first worst was I actually fell asleep one time when I was driving, and I hit a guardrail. So thankfully the guardrail was there. Otherwise, I'd probably be dead. So I guess
that's good.
Yeah.
I'm glad you're here. Yeah.
So cool. Let's get into you and your music, Marla Mace. Now, it says here that you're a writer, performer, producer, singer, songwriter. And from what I understand, you also dabble in some playwright, too. But could you give us a background on, for people who don't know who you are and who are interested in who you are, if we have some people just clicking through the interweb and going Artists First and seeing who's on tonight, who is Marla Mace? And just give us a little bit about your history and how and your path in music, please.
All right, well, who is Marla Mace? Well, I am a... It's true. I consider myself a writer first. I always say that because for me, everything stems from the word. You know, I've been writing a long time. You know, I mean, my whole life, but, you know, I'd say pretty much from my late teens, early 20s. So I would say, you know, that comes first, you know, like a poet, writer. I started doing a lot of spoken word stuff and theatrical type writing. I think I entered into things that way, not knowing that anyone. I was in the class once, like creating a one-person show, and I was like scared to death to take it. And so I was like, "Well, take it. You like writing and acting." And I was like, "Yeah, but I'm not, you know, Eric Bogosian and whoever, you know, the solo performers." And then it was like an assignment. They like had 20, you write something 20 minutes. And when I read what I wrote, everyone was like, "Oh my God! Like, that's great. You're like Patti Smith. You're like, you know, Lou Reed." And I was like, "This stuff. Like, this I've been writing my whole life. It's like my journal stuff." So. And then from there, I wrote a play called The Canarsie Line, which was a monologue play, but it had like about, you know, like five actors in it, and you know, other theater things. Man, Woman was another play, and then music's newer. Music's like my newest addition, actually, to what I do, and it kind of my family. It's in my family. My mother's a songwriter. My brother wrote songs. My sister-in-law's a songwriter. My grandfather, but I was always like, well, I don't write songs because I don't play music and I don't sing. But then, but then things changed. I had a breakdown and suddenly I sang. See,
nice.
Breakdowns are breakthroughs. So, I mean, that's, yeah, so then I started, I mean, basically I do theater and I have my play Man, Woman became a shorter, abridged version, which was A Brief Night Out, which is now a rock opera, which is also an album, but it's actually a rock opera that I perform on stage, like a live show, a play. It's a lot of fun. So that's kind of quickly, you know, a little bit of my history.
Yeah, in the old nutshell.
Yes.
That's cool that you said, you mentioned that you were essentially reciting things that were from your journal, and that's cool that you got such a good feedback from people, you know, with you reciting things that were real, that were, I mean, that were actually you. You know, you weren't writing for an assignment. You were writing things that you had already been writing, and that's cool that people, you know, liked you for the truest form of writing that you had to give. That's pretty cool.
No, it was, and it was really, like, at the time, I mean, it was very, you know, because it was just like, okay, right on, you know, she gave us, like, actually a word, like, shoes or something, a stream of consciousness, and I'm, you know, I'm a word, and I just wrote, like, boom, blah, blah, and, you know, like, bombed it out, and then it was like that. So then I realized that there was power in that stuff, and most of my work, songs, plays, do come from that source. So, you know, now I sometimes it can go straight into a song, but it really is just me and what I'm thinking and my journals and then they end up being plays and stuff. Every artist has their own process, but for me it's very much, you know, this kind of like whatever's in my mind, you know, just comes out. And I mean, I guess that's my gift, if you want to say, you know. So yeah,
that's
it's cool. Pretty cool.
Well, let's give people a listen of what we're talking about. Let's play this first album, or this first track of the album, A Brief Night Out, which is Things That Scare Me. What do you want to tell us about this song before we go ahead and play it?
Well, it's the opening song. It is the opening song to my album, Brief Night Out. It's also the opening song to the rock opera. And I think it pretty is clear. It's kind of a signature tune, so it'll give you a good sense of what I'm about.
All right, cool. Well, this song is Things That Scare Me by Marla Mace off of her album A Brief Night Out, and you're hearing it on the Artists First World Radio Network. Enjoy.
There are so many things that scare me. I can't even begin to count. There are so many things that scare me. I never thought I'd amount to being a mother, a sister, try and die.
certainly experiencing the kind of situation that is perfect for medication.
That song you just heard was Things That Scare Me by Marla Mace off of her album A Brief Night Out. And Marla, you still with me?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, right on. I like that. That song was very fun.
Yes, it makes me laugh. Actually, I always forget at the end because that I have the voice of the character in the play, the doctor, and he says that. It always makes me laugh because it's ridiculous.
So, because
the play is... The version that I do with the other actor is me and, like, the therapist. One of the roles he plays is a therapist, and it's just like, you know, whatever. It's just funny.
Have you been able to like, perform this rock opera for anybody, or is it more of just, like, an idea or a concept?
No. I performed it. I actually just did a performance of it in December at the Triad Theater in New York. I did like a one-off, which is like a one-night-only special showcase kind of thing, like right before the holidays. And it was the first time I did the total solo version of it, because I've done the version with the other, you know, actor, and it was great. I mean, I had a packed house, and it went really well. And you know, I'm looking to put up, you know, do a run of it. But it was, you know, it's a fun show. I mean, it's not only fun. I mean, it is heavy. My writing can have its dark side. I mean, basically, it's a story about a woman who's, you know, married and basically like a breakup of a marriage, having an affair. But this craziness, I'm kind of, I guess, it's hard for me because I'm used to me, but I know people think my stuff is edgy and can be at times uncomfortable, not only, but, you know, I have a, you know, it's like sexual and edgy and has this edge of, you know, so it was really fun though. And then I put it up before, as I've been developing it, you know, a number of times. I did it in Buffalo this summer, so it's I've been putting it around. So yes.
Oh, that's cool. Now, are the people in inside the album here? They're obviously all you, but are they different characters of the story?
Oh, the three. Yeah, that's actually the ad for the thing. They are. Well, it's all about this woman. It's not me. No, any resemblance. Yeah, I mean, there is, like, the character of the woman. I mean, she does have, like, different sides to her. So the superhero, I mean, that's kind of the end, come out in this encore piece called RHM, which is Rockin' Hot Mace. And it's, like, it's a cool tune. It's fun also. It's also, like, kind of, it's another signature tune. So that's, like, the superhero. And then there is a scene. I haven't released it yet, but I do have it, the full thing, on Vimeo, and there is a scene where I'm holding the gun. There is a thing about war, and the song "That Wall" has to do with that. And she's upset. The character's obsessed with war, and the lover is a soldier who has post-traumatic stress, and the husband. They're all very connected. They're all like obsessed with war and survival. And then the other one is just like the nice person, the nice sweet woman in the dress.
Now,
although it's kind of lingerie, but whatever.
Where did you come up with the idea of this story? I mean, obviously it's a pretty complex story, and you said you were doing this stuff before you were doing music, but what made you want to, you know, obviously you were probably a play or a theater enthusiast before you went and actually wrote your own stuff, but when did you decide that it was time to write your own stuff, and how did you know what you were going to write the musical about?
Well, this one, the way I write, like I said, I'm not, I don't write linearly or... Like, I had a play, I still have a play, it's called Man and Woman, and that's a long play, it's probably could be like a 2-3 hour, 2-3 act play about a breakup of a marriage, and it's a scene with, like, this woman with her husband and a lover and her father, and there's God and there's judges, it's kind of Kafka-esque, and so I had this play, and I workshopped it a bit, and then I decided I hadn't done anything in a while, and then in 2008, I decided to just invite, I said, it's time for people to come hear some of my writing, and I took a night, and I said, you know, I just pulled some of my pieces, like a couple of scenes from Man and Woman, and I did have one tune, you know, and I just pulled it, and I called it A Brief Night Out initially, because it was short, it was 35 minutes, and I'm like, okay, right. People can come and see this short thing, and just see what I've been working on, you know, kind of like just to feel it out. But when I did it, I realized it had an arc and it had a feel, and I was like, oh, this is kind of a story. And then I just started working on it more. It was still not a rock opera until I just started writing more and more songs. And the way I write, like I said, I'm not linear, so it wasn't like I said, oh, now I need to fill in this hole in this show and I write a song. It was like the songs were written, the other things are written, and then I just stick it all together. It's almost like if I had a million different scenes and I threw them all on the floor, I'm like, okay, now how do I put this puzzle together? but I guess because it's all my psyche, it works. Like, I wrote a song, like, you know, and then I'm like, okay, it totally fits the show. But I didn't write it for the show. It's kind of interesting, at least with this one. So I wasn't working with musicians initially. The first two performances I did was just me, and then I even had other actors singing, and then I was like, I need to get a musician. I'm writing so many songs, and someone introduced me to Tomas Donker, which was a very big blessing in my life because he's amazing. He's now my producer and the musical director and did the two albums with me, and, you know, it changed my life because he came in. He's kind of a legend in the New York City downtown scene. I didn't even know this. I just met this guy, and I'm like, whatever, you know. But he's amazing, and he came with a team of amazing musicians who they're all seasoned. They've all toured with the best you can get, you know, names that everyone knows. So I came, so this team of musicians were like behind me from the beginning, and he really believed in me, you know, even though I wasn't coming from a music thing, and he really believed in my work. And so, you know, now it's 3 years later, and, you know, like I said, two albums later, and I'm going to do a new show soon. So it's been great. It's really
a great journey. That's really cool. I mean, you know, you just had an idea out of nowhere, and it's working out for you, and people are responding well to it. That's real cool. Let's go ahead and play another song off of A Brief Night Out. I believe the next lined up is Gaping Hole. What do you want to tell us about this before we go ahead and play it?
Well, I'll say that one is a good one to play because that is my Tomas's favorite, so he loves it. And there's a lot of people that is their favorite for some reason, and so why not? And as far as the song goes, well, you'll hear it and you can see what you think.
All right, cool. Well, this is Gaping Hole by Marla Mace off of her album A Brief Night Out. And you're hearing it on the Artist First World Radio Network. Enjoy.
Yes.
I'm acting out all over the place. I'm acting out.
That song you just heard was Gaping Hole by the artist Marla Mays, and it's off of her album, A Brief Night Out. And we actually have Marla with us. Hey, Marla, let's touch a little bit on your band, because they seem like a talented group of guys and girls. So tell us, tell us a little bit about your band.
Okay, well, like I said, you know, before, Tomas Donker is my, he's a producer, he's a co-writer, guitarist, producer, and he's, like I mentioned before, I mean, he has done a ton of work. If anyone wants to look him up, you know, TomasDonker.net, he's actually doing something very pretty big this summer. I don't know if he's officially announced it yet, but it's a pretty big deal on his own works. You know, he does a lot. His own stuff is global soul world music, and he has this album out called Power of the Trinity, which is about Haile Selassie, and it's just incredible. And so, and he's, like I said, he's a kind of a downtown New York City legend, you know, from the early 80s. He knows everyone from then, and all these guys. So he's, you know, he's like the main one, because he's like the one I work closest with. I work with, but the same guys work with me in all my live shows and in my albums, you know, unless they're on tour. Like the drummer I work with, Tobias Ralph, I mean, he's just also like, you know, he just came back from touring with, you know, King Crimson, Adrian Blue. He's going back out with them in June, and he's toured with, he did a huge tour with Lauryn Hill, with Tricky, if people know Tricky from Massive Attack. So, and he's just a great guy. He's funny as anything. Can't find him because he's well, he might have a website, but he's not a big social networker, so he's amazing. The bass player, Booker King, incredible. He's like the one we always make sure that he's happy, you know, because if he likes it, then we know. He's the one who keeps it in the pocket. I always joke, but he's, you know, he's definitely the one we all look to, like, okay, is this all right? And then there's Heather Powell, who does backups on my records, and she's an incredible singer and actress, and she's actually finishing up her first album right now with Tomas. Very different style than I am. She's like a real you know, vocalist, diva vocalist type person, but she's wonderful, so keep an eye out for her. And she's done a lot of tour, like Broadway show type stuff as well, cabaret stuff. And keyboardist is Nick Rolf, and he's, I mean, they're all like, you know, he tours with, what's her name? He just came back with it. Nonena, Maya. It's just, they're just all amazing. If you go on my website, marlamace.com, and go to my Brief Night Out part, you'll see the band and their names, and they're all, I'm very, very lucky and proud to be working with these guys. And the percussionist, Daniel Sadal, Nick, is like one of the most, he wins every year best jazz drummer. He's actually touring with Taylor Swift right now, and, you know, so he's away a lot. Yeah, and that's great. And but, you know, but it's funny because he's, you know, he's really like a conga player. Like, he's, you know, you hear him on, like, Tomasa stuff, or, you know, he toured with Steely Dan and The Roots. I mean, these guys, like I'm saying, like, they're no joke. Wow. They're no joke. And they're nice guys, too. Like, you know, they because they've been doing this a long time, I'm very lucky, like I said, to fall into completely professional, reliable. There's no craziness. It's a sober kind of, it's a sober group, you know, so it's not like everything just runs a machine. I record the stuff at Bill Laswell's studio, and he's a pretty, people who know music will know Bill Laswell. He's a huge producer and bass player himself, who's won many Grammys, and we work at his studio, and it's just been a great, I've been very fortunate.
Yeah, it sounds like you've got a solid group of people behind you. That's really cool.
Oh, yeah, it's incredible.
So, okay, well, we touched on your band a little bit, but let's talk about some of the people who, you seem like a pretty diverse person. I mean, you know, you're a writer, you're a poet, you're a playwright, you're a singer, you're a songwriter. Who are some of the people who influence you, and who do you, I guess, you know, who do you look to for influence going through all these different, you know, adventures?
It's funny, people always ask me this, and then I always get, like, nervous, because I'm like, God, why don't I really have answers to this? But I've been thinking about it lately, because I've done a bunch of interviews, and it's like, I mean, musically, you know, I listened to a lot of different stuff growing up. You know, I wouldn't say that I was, like, obsessed with any one thing. I really did, younger, love The Who, particularly Pete Townsend. I mean, he's a writer. I love his writing. I love his lyrics. I like his solo stuff. So he's always someone that pops up for me, which is funny because I probably really haven't listened to many of his things recently, unless I hear a Who song on the radio. You know, of course, The Beatles, like anyone. I mean, when I was young, I used to sit, you know, with the albums and listen to those. But, you know, there's just, like, you know, a lot. Like, I loved Squeeze, you know, and I always like reggae, so that's, you know, some of the reggae influence, and obviously Bob Marley, but, you know, other, you know, people, El Steel Pulse, and Gregory Isaacs. I mean, there's a whole bunch of different, and But, like, a lot of my influences, and so there's been music, like, but I was going through a really hard time before I started singing, like, Mavis Staples, who someone had just said, listen to her, and, like, that became, like, a big thing for me, or, you know, even show tunes. But a lot of influence for me are also writers. Uh-huh. Like, I love Kafka. I mentioned him before, but, like, you know, Kafka, I feel like at one point, maybe I was him in another life, my neurotic uh-huh. side. But he's just, you know, amazing, and I Milan Kundera, I was an English major, you know, so I'm, you know, Kundera, you know, I love Isabel Allende, and I mean, this play, The Pillow Man, Martin McDonagh, I think I'm pronouncing it right, amazing play, like the most brilliant writing in the world. So there's just been a lot. I mean, just in general throughout my life, I think, you know, like I'm not one that gets like into one thing, and I'm an obsessive person, but not on this. You know, and there's filmmakers that have influenced me. If anyone knows Lena Wertmüller, she's an Italian filmmaker, and she did Swept Away in this movie, Seven Beauties. Those are her two famous ones, and I love it. And I feel like her sensibility is very similar to mine as far as being a woman artist, because she's kind of hardcore. Like, she doesn't, like, people would be mad at her because she had, like, a guy hitting a woman in her film.
Yeah.
But I'm not that I'm into that as, like, a thing, but she doesn't, you know, it's like the sexuality stuff is right out there, raw and open, and I'm big in that.
That's cool. Well, let's go ahead and let's play another song. I think we had She Hooked Him Up, which actually is a pretty sexy song. So
yes.
let's go ahead and play it. Is that cool?
Totally. Totally.
All right. Well, this is actually off the new album, Speak. And this song is called She Hooked Him Up by Marla Mace. And you're hearing it on the Artist First World Radio Network. Enjoy.
Even though he was fully clothed and 6 feet away from her.
stream of steamy promises. And he was such an animal, oh yeah, she could tell. How could no one else notice this about him? Was she losing her mind? Was she losing her mind?
The song you just heard was She Hooked Him Up, and it was by Marla Mace off of her new album, Speak. And we actually have Marla on the phone with us. Hey, Marla, well, we were off the air while you and I were talking on the phone. We were talking a little bit about your live performances. So for people listening, could you tell them what your live performances are like?
Sure. Well, I think that's how, like, I mean, the albums are great, but the specialty is definitely the live performances, because I do a couple of versions. I do full band, you know, me and the full band, and that's fantastic. And anything I do is always, like, I'm pretty, like I say, people have been told me that I am. Like, I'm a pretty in-your-face performer, because I'm, you know, I guess I'm a performance artist, so I add a lot of spoken words to things. I will add rants, and I'll do stuff before I start, and I'll, you know, I'm theatrical. I mean, people have said, oh, I'm art rock. Theatrical rock and roll kind of thing. So it's definitely very theatrical. I will, when I do things that scare me, I might have, you know, little confetti guns, and I just do all sorts of stuff. I come out into the audience, and I'll just completely be there. Like, if they don't come to me, I will go to them. And like this song, like Hooked You Up, is a great live song because they're so funky. And I also do, we kind of do like our own, like what we call our White Stripes version, which is just Tomas and I, and we go out, and it's incredibly funky. I call it my Down and Dirty show, because it's just he and I doing the same stuff, but it gets to be done up a little bit of a different way, because he has the drum machine, and then he just completely goes nuts on the guitar, and it's really funky. And anyone can go on YouTube. I have a lot of YouTube videos out there, and you could see these shows, and you'll see what it's better to see it, and you'll know what I'm talking about. But I definitely am. I'm dramatic, and you know, maybe some may love it, some may hate it, because they're like, what the hell is this woman, you know, doing up there? But it's, you know, that's just my style. And like I said, the band is so funky, you know, there's so, everything I do, like a lot of my lyrics may be really, some of them are dark, but it always has a groove. Like, my music is always groovy. So it could be like the darkest subject, but you'll think it's like a great, like, funky tune. So,
well, that's cool. Hey, well, let's go ahead and jump into the next song, just so we can get these in, so people know what you're all about. Let's do, I think we have Squirm lined up next, right?
Yeah. And I'll just say one thing. It's a fun, that one was written literally, Tomas just started playing a groove, and I just said, I want to shut the shit down. And that's how the song was written. And you'll hear the song now, and you'll hear the rest. But
all right. Well, this
literally,
go ahead.
Just wrote it while he played it.
All right, cool. This is Squirm off of the album Speak by Marla Mace, and hearing it on the Artist First World Radio Network. Enjoy.
I want to shut the shit down. I want to shut the shit down. That's my proclamation. I want to be mean.
By Marla Mace off of her new album Speak, and you heard it on the Artist First World Radio Network. Hey Marla, for time's sake, let's go ahead and let's play Dance the Tango right now, and then we'll come back and close the show out where you can plug all your stuff, and then we'll end with our last song. Is that cool?
Okay, sounds great.
All right, cool.
Thank you. So,
yeah, no problem. We have Dance the Tango next. What do you want to tell us about the song before we play it?
Just quickly that it's a song that was written that someone I know who killed herself last year. She jumped off the 10th story of her office building, and it was a pretty big surprise about it. And basically, after it happened, there was an article about it, because it was also downtown, in the Wall Street area. So there was an article about it, in the Post. And basically, the article was just like, woman was found dead, and she didn't have a family, and she wasn't married, and she didn't have kids, and basically, someone said, well, after she turned 50, she just said, I can't take it anymore. And it was just kind of like, they totally, that's not what, it was like, what is a person? Like, there's more to a person. Like, it's like, what? That's, that's comfortable for us to accept that, oh, that's why she'd kill herself, because she didn't have right. All those things. But, not that she spoke seven languages and all these other wonderful things about a human being. So the song was kind of inspired by, but I thought about what that article was. And then also a dedication to her. And you'll hear, it's a dedication to her.
Well, cool.
God bless.
Yeah. This song is Dance the Tango by Marla Mace off of the album Speak, and you're hearing it on the Artist First World Radio Network. Enjoy.
I read about your death. I read about you.
You just heard Dance the Tango by Marla Mace off of her album Speak, and you heard it on the Artist First World Radio Network. Hey, Marla, I really like that song. I like the lyrics, especially after hearing the story. It's a pretty cool song.
Oh, thank you. I like it, too.
Yeah. Hey, okay, so before we wrap things up, I want to make sure you get a chance to plug, like, all your, where people can find you, where they can hear your music.
Sure.
And, you know, just wherever they want to find out more about you, where can they do that?
Okay. Well, the main place is my website, MarlaMace.com, and that's MarlaMace.com, and you can hear a lot of my songs on there. There's a lot of links to YouTube videos, and actually I have a blog on there, a lot of my writing and poems and stuff, which people don't really know about, that I don't push it that much, but it's pretty good stuff, I think. Some of it's interesting. So press all that, and then my records, you can get them, the usual, iTunes, Amazon, CD Baby. Soon I'll be selling it off of my own website as well, so get them there. And just YouTube me, Marla Mace, and you'll see a bunch of my channel's MMace17. If you want to just go straight to the channel, but, you know, you can just always just YouTube my name, and you'll see videos. And I think that's it. And just, you know, listen out for some new stuff that's going to be coming your way soon.
Cool. Well, thank you very much, Marla. Obviously, you're a busy person, and I just want to thank you for taking the time out of your day to be with us. And before we wrap things up, we're going to play another one of your songs. And what did you want to tell us about this song? There's some significance behind this song as well.
This one is my newest tune. It is not yet released, so it's hasn't been heard by many, very few. But it's a very important song to me. The name of it is called Anorexia, and you'll hear it. It's a great track, but it's basically. It's a subject that's very important to me because my daughter was very sick for many years with anorexia and depression and cutter and suicidal, and basically really affected the entire family. Thank God right now she's doing well, and there's miracles that came out of it. Probably most of my music and all of it was a direct result, as I said earlier on, and with a breakdown, but breakthrough, because after you go through like really hard stuff, it really is true that you just do then what you really want to do and love. So. But I am doing a project with it where I'm really trying to promote awareness, and I have a lot of people who are involved and interested in really promoting this particular track. And you'll hear it. It's a fabulous track. It's featuring Hawk, who's a reggae singer, and you'll hear. And so he's featured on it, and I'm really, really proud of it.
Cool. Well, I'm glad you found some comfort in your music and you were able to share it with everybody. Because I know some people are going through the same thing, and hopefully they'll be able to listen to songs like this and your other songs and get through their tough times as well.
Exactly.
All right, cool. So. Well, this is Anorexia. You're hearing it, a brand new song from Marla Mace, and you're hearing it on the Artist First World Radio Network. And I want to thank you very much, Marla, for coming on. Really appreciate it, and hopefully we'll talk to you again soon, huh?
Sure, and thank you, Corey. It was a pleasure. Thank you.
No problem. Here is Anorexia on the Artist First World Radio Network. Enjoy.
It's murder. Starving. It's a hex, it's a vex on a nation.
Suicide change, internet promoting them zero size dreams. I give them such a terrible delusional dreams. Yo!
The world is topsy turvy when our girls don't like their curvy. Anorexia, anorexia. pounds. Why do our girls feel too big for their bodies? Why do our girls feel too small in this world?
Lose 10 more pounds.
To the way she used to look so nice.
Lose 10 more pounds.
Anything can make her body right.
Can't get away from the demons in her head. She wanna walk around like the living dead.
Lose 10 more pounds.
It's like the shadow I give her body a fight. Procrastinated to the body time.
She body gonna eat itself alive. Heart and brain, they cannot survive. Anorexia.
You walk around and look so feeble, son.
Anorexia.
Don't be taken over my dear son.
Reality is people dying. Reality is people starving. It's a hex, it's a vex on our nation.
What would happen if you didn't follow the established path?